Oh my goodness. It's funny how the Spirit moves because honestly, we really had no idea that we were going to be dressed like this. And normally when people dress the same, they use the term Twinkies. But he's more of a Twinkie, I'm more of a ding dong. So, while I was sitting there and looking at all the different aspects of the worship service unfolding, those of you that may have not been part of the actual orchestrating of a worship service, you do see how the Holy Spirit moves and pulls songs together and stories together and things. And it's a miracle how God has his hand on things that when his people are involved, when his people are working to serve one another. And no doubt this was one of them. Even the kids singing, it was an absolute joy for me and a miracle. If you know me, it doesn't take much for me to start crying. But I want to share this scripture with you. It came from from the Psalm 126, and it's part of our focus. God restores. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with joy. Will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. At Psalm 126, verses 4 and 6. As I was talking with Dick about this sermon, I realized that in talking about restoration, you can't speak of restoration unless you speak of brokenness. Unless you've gone through a tough time, you kind of don't understand what it means to be healed. You don't understand what it means to be made whole. We live in a broken world. God, when he created this world, it wasn't broken. It was perfect. He said it was good. And because of things that have happened, the choices that Adam and Eve made, everything broke. Was torn asunder. Our relationship with God was torn asunder. Creation was broken. Now, if we look around, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, believe me. I know this is Christmas time. But as we look around us, we can still see aspects of that brokenness. We can see it in relationships with family and friends. We can see it maybe even relationships in our very home with our spouses. We can look at other people that are dealing with medical issues. Even at this time, there are different people that are looking for jobs, and there's brokenness, and they're not really facing a very, we would say, great time during this Christmas season. And when there's brokenness, we tend, as human beings, we tend to use certain things to medicate ourselves, to kind of like get us through the moments, you know? And believe it or not, Christmas is one of those times. See, people use the secular Christmas as a means of getting through some horrible times. You know, when you're driving down through the neighborhoods and you see the lights on, you know, the Christmas lights out, it lifts you up. Those of you that like to watch Hallmark shows, which I'm not one, you know, it lifts you up. It brings you out of a funk that you may be in. Maybe even if you're materialistic, you like to buy presents for everyone. And so that is a means of trying to heal the brokenness, but it only lasts for a time. You know, most people say, you know, I start singing Christmas songs in June and July, which drives a lot of people crazy, especially my wife, because her rule is you don't listen to Christmas songs until after Thanksgiving, you know. And then when after Thanksgiving, she's turning up the music and she's running around. And, oh, I'm sorry, Carmen. Okay, I'll keep going. Anyway, you know, we use that with Christmas. And But for those of us that are Christians, those of us that are children of God, we realize, hopefully, we realize that true restoration and healing comes from God. The psalmist in 126 and other ones that we've read, David and the other people that have written those psalms are remembering a time that God has restored them. They're going back to those times of remembrance. I was in a horrible situation, and God pulled me out, and He restored me, and I'm going to glorify Him and thank Him and tell everybody what happened. Our God is a restoring God. The hard thing for us to accept sometimes is God is God, and He's a sovereign God, and He knows what's best. And sometimes He doesn't restore like we want Him to. And it's hard. Because we pray and we wait for Him, and we wait for Him to pull us up and put us on that stone and pull us out of the mire and put that new song in our mouths. And it's not the song we expected to sing. And it's not the stone we expected to be placed on. It's a new normal. But guess what? It's God's normal. He decides how He's going to heal. He decides how He's going to restore you and touch you. Because if we really think about it, many times in our brokenness, if we attempt to try to put things back together, it's not as good as we thought it would be. When Carmen and I were married, I share this with her. We got a crystal bowl for a wedding gift. And, you know, sometimes you get a lot of wedding gifts and you don't have a chance to see what they're all about. And this, from the box, the bowl was beautiful. Okay? The problem is, somewhere along the route between me handling the crystal bowl and it going into the closet for a special time, I dropped that crystal bowl. And it didn't just shatter, it sounded like it blew up. And there was just glass all over the place. And unfortunately, Carmen was standing right next to me. And I've broken a lot of things as a kid, and you try to glue them back together and put it on a shelf and hope mom and dad doesn't figure it out. This one was figured out. I mean, she just looked at me like I was nuts. And that's what happens with us sometimes. We can't put things back together. We go to some people and say, hey, will you restore me? And they can't put you back together. But we go to God, and He puts us back together in His own way. Simon Slabaugh, when he was sharing his testimony, one of the things that he brought out was a question of why God does not restore people. Sometimes, why does He not restore people at certain times and stuff? And I do not. That has been a question that has been put out for a very long time. Not just now, it will be asked later, or it will be asked before. I mean, it has been asked before us. Here's the thing. There were 400 years of silence before Jesus was born, and He came at God's perfect timing. Okay? The Jews wanted the Messiah long before He came. But when Jesus came, it was at God's timing. Galatians 4:4-5 in the English Standard Version says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. God's timing is God's timing. It may happen after you've passed away. You may be praying for a son or daughter or a friend or something, and that restoration may happen long before you go. I mean, long after you go. You may see it. There is also a restoration that happens after we pass. If you are a son or daughter of Christ, you have ultimate restoration. You will be with God, and He will restore you. You know, my mom had gone through a lot of issues. She had poor health before she passed away. She was slipping into dementia. Cancer was eating up her body. And there were many things that I was praying for. But when she slipped from this world, I had faith that she was more perfect than I am right now. She has wholeness that I can't even experience for the simple fact that she's with Jesus right now. So sometimes we have to realize that that healing happens in God's time, and sometimes that happens on the side with Him. God's ultimate restoration is through Christ. Now, I'm going to use this example really quick. I was going to put slides up here with the Grinch and Scrooge and stuff and talk about how they were restored. But it was the funniest thing. I was trying to cut the sink. The water was dripping, and I was trying to cut the water off in the sink, and I couldn't get it. So I reached up under the sink to cut the water off from the main source, so to speak, and I cut my thumb. It split wide up. There's a wire there. So we have this thing called a Secret Santa at work. And so when I went into the medicine cabinet to go get a Band-Aid, I wasn't even thinking. All of a sudden, there are two things of Band-Aids there. One is your regular Johnson's & Johnson's, and this is an endorsement, by the way. Okay, there were Jesus Band-Aids. And I was like, where did I get this? And after Carmen and I talked about it, it was probably a year ago. And they had been in there for all this time. I didn't know. And it says, discover the healing power of Jesus Band-Aids. So I put on two Band-Aids to come up here and show you. I was like, hey, you know what? We got to go to Jesus first, because I had a choice. See, I could have went to Johnson's & Johnson's, but I went to Jesus. Okay. So that, as for restoration for all of us, for those that are Christians and those that are not, God is still God. Christ is still the Messiah. He is the means for true restoration. In 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22, it says, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. It all comes through Jesus. That's that through the baby that grows up, and he's our Messiah, but he grows up and he pays the cost for us to be truly healed. The last point I want to make, though, is as you have realized, hopefully, in your Christian life, as you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you look back at those times that you've depended on Christ to heal you and to step in and restore you. Ultimately, God has a plan of an eternal restoration, and Dick hinted at this. Let me share this with you. God's plan of eternal restoration is to make all things new. It's not just to put things back together again and make you who you were before the brokenness. When, if you look through the Old Testament, whenever God heals and restores, he does it doubly. There is a double portion given. There is a double healing. There is a powerful restoration. I'm reading from the book of Revelations 21, 1 through 4. A new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." We did not know the day and the hour that Jesus came the first time. It was different than our world, and yet it was still broken. We don't know when he returns. We don't know when he's coming back. It says in the Bible, "But about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." God promises to be our restorer. He has faithfully done that. If he's done that in your life, share that with your brother and sister. Share that with people that don't know Christ. You saw it in Psalm 126, where the nations around Israel realized God is a God that restores. He is a powerful God. He has worked through his people. It's not meant to be kept secret. In this congregation, I have seen since the years I've been here, we rejoice in what God has done in being our restorer, sharing the fact that I had this problem or I had this issue, God brought us through and stuff. And yet we even pray with the people that are struggling through times right now. And that's what we're supposed to do. But ultimately, God is the restorer. I feel foolish sometimes saying this to you because I know many of you are mature in your walk. But I believe that I was called to come up here and just remind us who he is and how powerful he is, and to trust in him with his plan of restoration. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this chance for us to get together and just be reminded of how loving and caring and merciful and powerful you are, to not forget us, to be there for us like you've promised as a father, to restore us, but to restore us in the way that you see fit for your perfect plan and in your perfect timing. We look forward to your son's second coming, our Lord, to finally usher in the time of true renewal and restoration that will last for eternity. Not just for us and hopefully for people that we know of that right now don't know you, but also for all of creation. Your plan to restore us was laid out even long before Jesus came. Thank you so much for your wisdom and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.